Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Shalimar Paints Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Rasika Sawant from Orient Capital, Investor Relations Partner. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Rasika.
Thank you, and welcome to the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call of Shalimar Paints Limited. Today on this call we have Mr. Ashok Kumar Gupta, Managing Director, along with the senior management team. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of the company investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and company's website as well. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Ashok Kumar Gupta for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to this conference call. As you have seen that our results for the quarter January-March have been much better than earlier. We have been able to show a growth in sales, particularly in the industrial segment. Even within decorative segment, the performance has improved in the water-based category. My colleague Mohit will give you the financial results, then we will open it for question and answer. Mohit.
Thank you very much, sir. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this conference call for the investors. I hope you are taking good care of your health and yourself. Let me brief you about the last quarter operations as well as the financials. After that, me and my colleague, Mr. Kuldip and Mr. Gupta, would take any questions if you have any query on the performance of the quarter. In the last quarter, we have grown by 9% from last quarter, which is December 2022. During this quarter, company has grown in water-based segment by 18%, if I talk about in last year from March 2021. Company has also grown significantly in the industrial segment by 31% from the previous quarter and 14% from the last year. Over the last few quarters, the raw material prices have seen on an increasing trend, which has contracted the gross margin and impacting the overall profitability of the company. During the quarter, the cost of goods sold remain at 71%, which is 5% lower than the last quarter and 3% from the last year. During the quarter, the cost of goods sold, we tried to restrict up to some extent because of the price increase of 7%-10% during the quarter. If I talk about the full year, we have taken around 25%-30% of the price increase. The company has taken the price increase of 7%-10% in the last quarter and 25% from the last year. In the quarter, we have positive EBITDA of 20 lakh rupees, which was negative in the last year same quarter, and a loss of rupees 12.7 crore, mainly on account of high cost of the raw materials and the increasing trend in the commodity cycle. If I talk about the full year, we have closed the year by 358 crore, which is the growth of 10% from the last year. The cost of goods sold, which is 75% of my net receivable, increase of 7% in the cost line, which has significantly impacted my gross margins by 7%. More or less, the other costs have been the same. The other expenses are increased by 1% on account of a few debtors adjustment line items and other fundraising costs which company has incurred during the year. The EBITDA for the year is 17 crore rupees, which is negative 17, during the year, and the working capital days, if I talk about, are 71 days vis-a-vis 64 days. Inventory as well as your debtors, both are at the same line with the last year. However, we have significantly improved in the payment cycle because now the company has funds and try to get the confidence of the vendors while paying them in time and clearing the old debts. So that's it from my side. Over to Mr. Gupta.
Okay, so with this small briefing, we are now open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vaibhav, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and good afternoon to the management. So I have two specific questions on your fundraising. The first one is that, for the funds that you've raised so far, how does that reflect on your balance sheet right now? Because it seems you still have, a fair amount of borrowing and you're still carrying, a decent amount of cash that you've received. So that's the first question, if you could answer that, please. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Eva. Thank you very much. So as on 31st of March, the company has total deposits of rupees 165 crore rupees. Right. And if I talk about the borrowing side, the company has some long-term borrowing, which is in the form of term loans from IDFC, which took in around December last year, and some ECLGS loan or the CECL loan, which government supported us at the time of COVID. So those are the loans which are reflecting in the books in the long-term as well as in the short-term borrowing. At the same time, we reduced our cash credit limit by almost 70-75% and utilized only 30% of the total limit allowed, right? At the same time, the company had, amounts in the asset size that we kept in the FD by around 150 crore.
Understood. And sir, this the money, so you've received the 215 crores, that's fully received in form of preference shares. I believe the optionally convertible debentures of 55 crores, that money would have come. And have the warrants that you announced in March of 22, the 25% paid up to that extent, has that money also come in, 38 odd crores?
So that money has came in April. By 31st March, that money was not in the books.
So the 38 crores is left.
So out of 150 crore, 25% we have received in April, that is a warrant. But as far as my preference share capital and the debenture of 55 crore, that money came in February itself, right? So that is reflecting in my balance sheet as on 31st of March. However, warrants money will reflect in June financial.
Okay, understood. So second question is, the fundraising that you've done across these two rounds, we remember that in the third quarter results call, and this was after the initial round of fundraise from Infra.Market, which was the combination of equity and convertible debt that you had done, you'd said that there is no further infusion which has been planned. So what changed that between then and, a few weeks later when you have announced the second round in which, both the promoter and Infra.Market has invested again? And more specifically, what made you choose this specific structure, which is through a partially paid up warrants, kind of a structure?
So,
Mohit, one second. So what happened, the difference is, while the initial round of funding was primarily for the working capital purposes, the second round is basically for capital investments. So the second round is primarily with the view of increasing capacity of the company. As you know, we have three plants and one plant that is Havda is closed. So we we today the condition of the company being what it is, we were having plans to modernize our plants. Our cost of production is slightly higher because the plants are old and they are highly manual. So to increase both the capacity as well as to automate the plants, we needed this capital. That's why it has been raised.
Yeah, again, you know, this is my very simple and, you know, humble viewpoint that, you know, I don't know, this structure itself seemed very weird and, you know, probably not the right way. The way I looked at it was that this is basically, you know, you have given, you know, partially paid significantly in the money option to the promoter and infra.market and not allowed, you know, any minority holder to participate. Right. The way I look at it is that Shalimar is right now very small. So, you know, this kind of, you know, an equity issuance might fly under the radar. I guess that if this was a main headline stock, you know, one of the index stocks, there would have probably been a lot of questions for the management on things such as, you know, governance as well as minority interest. And possibly you would have probably seen a very significant price impact as well. Because as soon as I read this news, I thought, you know, there would be a lot of questions and probably you will see for some reason that, you know, that didn't happen. My whole sense was that why this has not happened for Shalimar is purely because of the fact that the company and the stock is relatively small. So I'm not sure, you know, what made you think of this structure, you know, why you didn't go for a rights issue or a plain vanilla equity, you know, issuance, even if the promoters had to be, you know, had to participate. I didn't see any reason why they should have been or anyone, you know, as a publicly listed company should have been incentivized disproportionately versus the minority shareholders. So I think that was the point that I was trying to make.
It was a decision we have taken because the right issue and all of the other means of investment were all viewed, and a decision was taken where it is possible that the money will be coming from, where that we were sure that the fund will be raised. That was a necessity. That we wanted to be sure that the funds will come through, and that's how this particular instrument was looked at.
Sir, again, you know, I think I don't want to hog the limelight here, and you know, I'll let others ask questions as well. But this is very contrary to a view, you know, which good companies which have shown good corporate governance, you know, and you look through the last 20-30 year history when, you know, companies have either done divestitures, the kind of value they have associated, companies like Wipro, or even very recently, you know, the kind of, you know, the partially paid issuance that Reliance did, it was done for all shareholders. You know, this seems like, you know, instead of a 130 rupee price, I can pay up 25%. And when we know the kind of prospects that a company like Shalimar has over the next 2-3 years, even if you, you know, use basic corporate finance principles and use, you know, the cost of equity, you know, as the benchmark, the kind of in the money option that promoters have got, that seems a very, you know, it seems something which is very difficult to digest for a minority shareholder. Again, you know, it is a decision which the management has to take, you know, all minority holders, it's approved. I'm sure, you know, there's a whole process that you have gone through. But intuitively to a minority shareholder, it doesn't look right. If this was a headline company doing this, I'm sure there would have been a lot more questions. That's, you know, and you know, it's you know, I'm just giving this as feedback to you guys.
Yeah, yeah, I know we understand your feedback. And yeah, we understand what you're talking about. Of course, the decision was taken keeping in view what are the possible fallout of different options. And this was just considered that this could be a better way of raising it.
Right, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishwajit Singh Rathod with Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Sir, I had a few questions regarding our facility. So currently we are operating with three manufacturing facilities with an annual production of around 69,000 plus kiloliters. I just wanted to know at the moment, what is our current capacity utilization and how are we dividing this capacity utilization for decorative versus industrial paints?
Okay, so Vishwajit, yes, sir.
Go ahead, Mohit.
Yeah. So, Vishwajit, you rightly mentioned that we have a production capacity of 69,000 KL right, per year. And as of now, our Secunderabad plant, which is, you know, in the north hub and catering to the northern and the eastern market, is operating at 75% of the capacity, 75 to 80%, hovering around, you know, 5% plus or minus, depending on the season. And our Nashik plant, which is, you know, catering our western market, is operating at 60 to 70% of the capacity. However, our Chennai plant, which is, you know, taking care of southern market, is operating at lower capacity. So in totality, if I talk about our all India capacity is being operational at, you know, 50 to 60%.
Okay, so within this 50 to 60%, what is the difference which we have for decorative paints versus industrial paints? Like how many in terms of kiloliters?
So typically all the manufacturing plants are equipped, well equipped for, you know, for the production of industrial as well as the decorative paints. But yes, within the segment, as we have a share of 30 to 35% in the industrial segment and 65 to 70% in the decorative segment. If I compare my production capacity, we can very well, you know, produce more than 50% for the industrial segment. Because most of the machines we can shift or we can convert for the industrial as well as for the decorative. Yes, typically there are few machines who are only for the industrial because those are the solvent based. Yes, at present 50% capacity is dedicated to industrial.
Okay. So if my understanding and of your current utilization of capacity, we are able to do revenue of around 144 crores through and with volume of around 97,000 kiloliters.
Sorry, come again, how you have worked out? Okay.
Hello?
Hello? Your voice is
yeah.
Not clear.
So, out of the 30-35% of the industrial paints which we are currently doing, we are generating 144 crore revenue from it at 9700 kiloliters which we are doing in volume.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Our margins in the industrial paint versus the decorative paint, do we have a huge difference, substantial difference, or it's almost the same?
So let me give you an idea of the margin of the different segments. We are working on industrial segment, and within in decorative, we are working in solvent-based and water-based. Okay. You know, oil prices have increased by more than 100% in last 1.5 to 2 years. Our margin prior to that used to be almost similar in all the three segments. That means industrial, decorative solvent, and decorative water-based. After the increase in oil prices, solvent-based paints have taken a big hit. While the cost of production has gone up, raw material has gone up, finished prices have not increased in tandem. The increase is gradual. It is happening, but it is taking time. It is, there's a lag. Because of that lag, margins of water-based are much higher than the margins of industrial or solvent-based.
Okay. Okay. So I won't take much of your time. I'll come back in the queue, but thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you, Vishnu.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Chawatia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So if you could help me with the roadmap of the financial year 23 and 24 going forward.
So Mohit, FY 23 and 24, we are, as you know, we are having two things in mind. One is our capacity utilization, which means basically we'll be increasing our sales. So our plan is to increase sales so that existing capacities can be better utilized. At the same time, we'll be increasing our capacities as well. I cannot give you exact numbers on how much increase will happen, but we are hoping that our increase, we are planning that our increase will be much higher, much, much higher than the industry average. We hope to gain garner market share from other players.
Okay, and sir, this capacity increase will be via way of fresh capex or debottlenecking in existing facilities?
I think it's a very relevant point you have raised. So, current facilities, the way they are, they're pretty old. And also, the capacity of each plant is in the range of around 20-25,000 KL per annum. Now, typically, if you see the modern plants, most of them are having capacities of at least 50,000-100,000 KL per annum. So that way, our capacities are much lower. What it leads to is slightly uneconomical production cost. So we are now modernizing it, debottlenecking it, also increasing marginally our capacity so that capacity of each plant is at least 50,000-100,000 KL per annum. With that, not only the production volume can go up, but more important than that, our production cost can come down, and so also the quality can improve. Today, we are taking small batches. The quality differs from batch to batch. And then, because a lot of work is manual, capacity also is at times, the quality also at times suffers. So we are carrying out debottlenecking. We are carrying out capacity expansion, and we are carrying out some kind of a brownfield expansion.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Diora with Divisha Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, since we last interacted, I believe we have gone in for an auditor change. So, sir, can you highlight what are the internal changes you have made inside the company since you have done a preferential, after you have done the preferential allotment?
So, the first work we are doing internally is strengthening our team. Since the company had limited funds earlier, we were not going aggressive on talent acquisition, but after the fund acquisition, the first step we are taking is talent acquisition. As you know, people are the pillars of any good organization. So keeping that in line, we are trying to get the best people on our team. We have taken a very senior person in sales from a different company, having a wonderful experience in paint industry. So also in production, we are also focusing on IT, for which we have taken a senior person from the field, and we are also taking some senior people in research, R&D. These four are the pillars of any organization: sales, production, apart from the work we have already done in supply chain, sourcing, finance, and HR, where we already had very stable and strong team. So with this, the first step we are taking is strengthening our leadership team within the organization. Apart from that, we are working on system and processes so that when the new auditor comes, our systems or processes are robust enough to give the desired level of comfort to the new auditor. These are two things primarily we are doing.
Okay. Sir, have we started using Inframarkets distribution network?
So, Inframarket has started working on their sales, and they have started contributing in a limited way in our overall sales. So first steps have been taken, and slowly they will be playing a very major role in our operations.
With respect to the industry, if we just go by the headlines, we see that there are new players who are entering this industry. So how do you see yourself? You see yourself as a challenger or as an incumbent?
So if you see the new players who are coming up, primarily they are focusing on at the moment on decorative paints.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that we have a very established brand. So to that extent, we are a challenger in the sense that we are already in the country. We have established presence. Distribution is strong. And now with capital having been infused, it's a question of utilizing our facilities and taking the company to a greater height. The new faces which are coming will have to take time to establish themselves and work out their own niche in the market. So perhaps we are better placed to be present in the market than the new players.
So just one last question. You mentioned about the capex that you will be incurring this year for expansion of the plant capacity. How much would we be spending on the same this year and the next year?
I think within next two and a half years, we will be spending around 100 to 150 crore rupees in capex expansion, but plants are still being worked out. Nothing is final as yet. Perhaps by the end of this quarter, we will have something more concrete plans.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ninad Sabnis with Sabnis Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, management. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So I've been hearing through the call, and I guess my question is also on a similar line as the person who asked before me. Everybody is excited about the upliftment in business which can be brought about by Inframa. And I just wanted to know, how can we leverage this further to enhance our supply chain? Because since we have a decade or almost a century old presence in the country, which are some specific would you be approaching in the, say, first half of the next year?
So you rightly said, see, our biggest strength is recognition by the of the products we have, our right. products being suitable for their applications. And most importantly, the faith and trust. And the second strength we have is our team. So the first step we are taking is utilizing that trust, improving ourselves, so that trust and the strength of brand which we have can be utilized. So our first function is increasing our distribution, increasing our customer base. Products are already developed to a large extent. And with the fund being now available, it's possible to expand our customer base. So in the first 2 months, we received the fund somewhere in, I think, last week of February. I think half month we have been able to increase our customer base to some degree. This process has been up now in speed, and we hope to double our customer base in maybe next couple of years. So that is our first attempt. Current product line plus our brand leading to increase in customer base, which will obviously lead increase in revenue. Our second strategy would be working out and whatever are the gaps in our product line. With the help of R&D, we will be filling those gaps. In fact, we are hoping to give a big boost to the current range of products we have. So far as decorative is concerned, we already have around 70 to 80% of the product which are required in the market. The balance will be developed in due course. On the industrial front, as you know, we have a very good name and very good approval rating. There we will be increasing our product to a large extent so that we can cover almost the entire industrial protective coating market.
Okay. So if I may ask a follow-up on that, looking at our growth, how much will it be driven by value and how much are we anticipating or have we targeted for FY23?
We are working on much higher than the industrial growth. So my industry growth is around 12-13%. We are planning to increase more than double of that industry growth.
Correct, sir. So, but majority of the volumes would be, I'm assuming, from more from the industrial side and followed by the decorative side.
Yeah, the growth may be faster in or earlier in industrial as compared to decorative.
So I just wanted to understand the mix. Okay, all right. So yeah, that pretty much answers my question. So thank you so much for your time and best of luck for the FY23.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. So thank you for the opportunity again. So Mr. Gupta, you know, question specifically for you, you know, you surely have done a great job, you know, when you, especially you contextualize what Shalimar has been able to achieve, you know, through the pandemic situation. We are now at a steady state base of at least 400 crores of annualized revenue. We are also hearing a lot of news of infra.market getting very aggressive in expanding its footprint. And there has also been a lot of news, and you also talked about, and plenty of new appointments at Shalimar. Now, you have already mentioned that targeting, you know, say a doubling of growth versus industry benchmarks. But if I could probably probe you more, and if you could throw more color on, you know, how this revenue trajectory would play out, say, over the next 3 years, especially against the context that, you know, when you took over, you know, you had outlined a goalpost of reaching about 1,000 crores of revenues. How does that target get bolstered, either in terms of either the target getting higher or, you know, the timelines getting significantly shorter with all the positive, you know, developments that have been happening around Shalimar and Infra? So that's the first question. Thank you.
I think you have very rightly said that we had planned for a significant growth a couple of years back. Now, there were two challenges which we have faced. One was, all along, we faced the problem of sufficient funds. And I mentioned earlier also, the issue was having funds even to supply current customers. So, and the second was COVID. Now, if you see, COVID impacted all the industry, and within the industry, all the players. We were slightly more affected because our cash flows totally got jammed. This infusion has opened up those areas, has opened up those avenues. And now I think we are well on way of achieving that 1,000 crore target. I really cannot say the number of time period we will take, but now it looks with the kind of results we have seen in last 3 months, the sales figure which have come in 3 months, we see that our objective, our mission, our dream of crossing 1,000 crore is looking within a reasonable period, within reach. And that's why I mentioned that we are planning that even if the industry grows by around 10-12%, year on year, we should be growing at least double that pace. So with that, you can understand that we plan to cross 1,000 in next 2-3 years, 3-4 years at the most.
Sure, so that's great to hear. So, and there is obviously going to be a contribution incrementally on revenues through infra.market. So how should we look at margins of product which you will sell through your conventional channels versus that through infra.market? And there have been, I think, you know, there were some questions in the previous few quarters about possibly a private label or, you know, a manufacturing contract that infra.market might have with Shalimar, where they could, you know, Shalimar could do the manufacturing and, you know, infra would sell it. So if that were to happen, so one, is that, you know, something which we are still working towards? And if that were to happen, what would margins look like?
You know, so far as infra.market is concerned, they are like any other channel we have for our distribution. So the margins should be by far the same as for other channels, whether it is industrial or for decorative. So far as, you know, producing for them, currently we have plans only to sell all our products under the Shalimar brand name, because that brand name is established and we want to use it. So there are no plans to the contrary at this moment.
So if I just squeeze in one more on, so, you know, at a target of, you know, 1,000 crores of revenues, you know, that we are targeting, is it reasonable to expect that margin should be in low to mid-teens, or do you see any margin pressures or possibly even margin tailwinds at that level of revenues?
So if you have seen, our currently our raw material accounts for around 70-71%, 72% of the revenue. Going forward, this should come down and not go up. The reason being that oil prices increase, whatever has happened, are slowly being passed on to the consumers. And if we have to increase our revenue, we should not be looking at a significant dilution of the margins. So so margin may be in the range of 70-72%, maybe I'm talking of cost of goods, maybe in that range which has been there for last 1 year. We do not intend to increase this significantly or reduce our gross margin from 28-29% to a lower figure to increase our revenue. Revenue increase should take place by protecting these margins.
Understood. But at the EBITDA level, so, you know, you're selling employee and other expenses, there you do not see either a margin leverage or, you know, even a pressure going forward.
At EBITDA level, this will further improve because our cost, fixed costs are not going to increase. Our fixed costs are sufficient today to take us to 1,000 crore level. So I expect that EBITDA level margins will significantly increase as and when revenue goes up.
Understood. And I'm sure, you know, you don't want to guide us toward any particular number at this stage.
We are hoping for a good numbers.
Sure, sir. We are hoping for that too. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the interest of time, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashok Kumar Gupta for closing comments.
Thank you, my friends. I understand concerns of my friends and colleagues in the industry of and their expectations as to the operation of the company and the results. I just want to assure you that with funds having come in the last month of the last quarter, things are changing fast, and you will see a good improvement this quarter itself. I know all of us our shareholders have kept patience for a long time. I believe that I can assure you that the time for results have come now, and you should be seeing some positivity from this quarter itself. With this, thank you for your participation.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Shalimar Paints Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.